One of the most joyful days in our youth is the day on which we open our Christmas presents. Part of the warmth of Christmas is to go down to the tree and find Christmas presents that are prepared for us. The whole tree filled with all of these wonderful things, no matter how insignificant they could have been when we were children, little trinkets perhaps, but they were gifts. And that made Christmas an exciting day for us as children because there were gifts waiting for us. And even as adults, if someone should give you a gift, even if it should be a mere box of candy when they come to visit you, there is something wonderful about that. Something consoling. It is a sign of their friendship and affection and their thought. But God is the greatest of all of the gift givers. His first great gift is the gift of Bethlehem itself, the cause of Christmas, where he, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, gave himself by taking on our human flesh and becoming a little baby, giving himself to the human race. The second great gift is the gift of Calvary, where this gift of the presence of God among us that was caused by Bethlehem is transformed into yet a greater gift, a gift of pouring out his blood for us, which will become the waters of baptism so that we can live inside the life that he lives in heaven by a holy participation. The next gift that God gave us is the gift of the Blessed Virgin Mary, that he would not confine the wonderful institution of motherhood to this earth, but rather translated that and transformed that into a mother of heaven, so that all of the affection and warmth that we have for our mother should be directed toward her as our mother in heaven, and that all of the affection and warmth and solicitude that a mother has for her child in this life should be in her heart for each of the children of God. And she became that gift at Bethlehem and also at Calvary, for she participated by her love in all of the sufferings of our Lord Jesus Christ, therefore meriting all the more to be the true mother of the human race. The next great gift that God has given us is the Sacred Heart. Certainly the Sacred Heart is included in Bethlehem and included in Calvary, but it was a sacred treasure that was not discovered for many, many centuries in a way. The first great discoverer was St. Bernard of Clairvaux, and with him, St. Gertrude the Great, whose feast we celebrate tomorrow. But because the treasure chest is so filled up, the Church only gradually, by years of contemplation of the mysteries that have been given to us and shown to us by Almighty God only with the contemplation of these centuries, do all of these mysteries come out, and are they appreciated by us? And because the Sacred Heart of Jesus was still obscure in the minds of so many of the faithful, our Blessed Lord Himself came to St. Margaret Mary Alacoque and showed her and the whole world effectively through the instrumentality of His Church His Sacred Heart, that treasure of mercy for sinners in a time when sin was multiplying itself all the more. Not in a time of great devotion, not in a time of warmth for God, but in a time of coldness for God, did He come and show us His Sacred Heart and give us His Sacred Heart. And the next great gift is the Holy Eucharist. Who could have thought, even when we think of the Incarnation and the Redemption, who could have thought that God could place Himself under the accidents of bread and wine and be present among us as He was present on earth 2,000 years ago? And present not only in front of our eyes, not only for our consolation on the altar, but coming into us in our bodies and in our souls in the same way that He will come to us in the beatific vision and touch us so that we see Him and experience Him, by which act He will make us happy forever. The prelude to this eternal moment of bliss in the beatific vision is the reception of Holy Communion, and only a most merciful and most generous and most gift-giving God could think up such a thing and then could ensure that it be with us all days, even till the consummation of the world. And the next great gift that He gave us is the Church, so that after He ascended into heaven, we would not be left orphans. We would not be left to our own lights to discover what is the teaching of God, but that we would have teachers and rulers of our souls, popes and bishops, who would point out to us what we should believe and point out the path of true observance of the gospel by holy disciplines and give us holy piety and holy acts of the sacred liturgy by which to sanctify ourselves. Imagine a world without this direction. And we don't have to imagine it, because we live it. Because we are deprived in these times of a true Roman pontiff. And look at the darkness that has come over the world, a darkness that is similar to the darkness that covered the earth when our blessed Lord was crucified. More and more people become filled with insane ideas, and their morals decline because the lights have been turned out in Rome. And that makes us appreciate the great gift of the Church and of the Roman Pontiff, that a man, despite whatever shortcomings he should have, whatever weaknesses, should be endowed with the power of God to teach and rule in His name, so that we, like sheep, may follow Him with all confidence. What a wonderful gift of God to humanity. And the next gift is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. This is where we hold up to God every day His Son, bloodied with the precious blood as a sacrifice of expiation for our sins, to placate God who every day smells the earth full of the stench of sin. And He is pleased by this holy sacrifice. And this holy sacrifice opens a Niagara of the graces of God that cascade down upon the human race, calling sinners to repentance and being the consolation of the just and their help and their perseverance. What a wonderful gift that we have to offer our Lord Jesus Christ to His Father in heaven. And this gift is given to us by God. Just as a mother gives to her child money in order to buy a gift for herself on her birthday, so God gives us a gift in order that we may give it back to Him, because we are like little children. But you know what I'm about to say now, that all of these things that we have, the church, the Roman Pontiff, the Mass, the Holy Eucharist, all of that comes down to the gift of the priest. That none of these things that we enjoy as Holy Church would be possible without the gift of the priest. And today we rejoice to see the gift of the priest. What a wonderful gift to open today, the gift of a priest who for many, many years will offer the holy sacrifice and will administer the sacraments and be a Lord Jesus Christ to sinners and to the just, will be, in a sense, a Blessed Virgin Mary by His tenderness to all of the children of the Church. What a wonderful gift that the power of God should be given to a man so that by merely saying the words, he brings down upon the altar the very presence of God in the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. Again, like the Blessed Sacrament, no human being could have ever thought of such a thing. And if he had thought of such a thing, no one would ever have believed it. And this gift requires a great grace in the heart of a young man. It requires that God place in the altar, as it were, a law of gravity, so that he looks upon that altar and feels a pull in his heart, in the same way that the moon is pulled by the earth and the earth by the sun. There is a pull in his heart toward the altar of God. This is what he wants to do with his life. For some reason, and is it worldly glory or money? No, because there is none. The reason is to serve God, and that great grace, which is mysterious, comes only from God. And God must give him, and does give him, the title to many graces that he needs to be a good priest, to persevere in virtue, because he must be the standard of all good conduct to the entire world every single day. Just like a clock that ticks and is always the same, always moving forward, always the same, never faltering, so the priest must be as stable as a rock in the practice of virtue, supernatural virtue, and must sanctify the people not only by the distribution of the sacraments and the holy sacrifice of the Mass, but also by his daily good example and preaching. Who gives you the knowledge of all of these gifts? Who tells you about the Holy Eucharist? Who tells you about the Mass? Who tells you about the Blessed Virgin Mary and about all of the things of God? But the priest, the gift of the priest is the church. Who becomes a Roman pontiff but a priest? A man that has dedicated his life completely to God by the grace of God. He becomes a Roman pontiff. He becomes consecrated in the truth and turns and teaches it to the whole human race. It starts with the gift of a priest. And today we rejoice in this wonderful, wonderful gift of a priest. This grace of God drives these young men to go through the difficult training of a priest. Many years, not only of academic training, which is itself very demanding, but moral training, the training of their characters, the humiliation of it. For they must become as humble as the Blessed Sacrament itself. They must become as tender and merciful as the Blessed Virgin Mary. They must become as zealous as the Sacred Heart of Jesus. They must become as obscure as the Babe of Bethlehem, and as sacrificed as our Lord on the cross. They must be, in a way, all the things that God has given us. And this is why we rejoice today. This is why there is so much excitement in your hearts about what is happening today. And so we thank God today. The Holy Eucharist means thanksgiving. We thank God. One of the vilest things a man can do is to not say thank you for a benefit, for a gift given. When your guests come and hand you a box of candy, what do you say? A little box of candy, what do you say? And so today we say thank you to God for all he has given us, especially for this priest that will be ordained today. And we pray for the young priest that he receive all of the graces that I spoke about in order that he be a faithful bearer of the gifts of God to you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.